So I am sure you'd agree with me that we live in a world that at times is really difficult to live in. And it often challenges our morals, challenges our values. Every day we're bombarded with imagery, words, ideas, and influences from the world. We're encouraged to buy into these things to find freedom, happiness, and to experience that golden thing, fulfillment. And trouble is, rather than these worldly influences giving us that freedom, happiness, and fulfillment we all crave, they actually end up leading us to the exact opposite. They can lead us to pain, discontentment, still hunger for more. And at times it can actually even enslave us to these things of the world. The decisions we make and the way we live our lives are regularly judged, either in person or via social media, by people at times who don't even know who we are. Then there are the issues that we see that we're trying to make sense of. I don't know if you ever try and make sense of any of these things. Try and make sense of the wars that are going on in this world at this time. Trying to make sense of the illnesses that we see around us and even in our own families. The broken promises that we see. The hurts, the abuses, the broken homes, the jealousy, the discords, the murders. And we see all these things as we're trying to live out our faith against the backdrop of an often unbelieving world. It's not easy, is it? It's not always easy. Now, we may say this morning, well, I'm not really influenced by these things. They don't have any detrimental effect on me. But I say this morning to you, it does more than you think. Even if you can't initially see it. You see, the things of this world eat away at our inner being. The place that the Bible calls the soul. You and I are not just robots with no feelings. We're not just physical bodies. But God has created each and every person in this room and in this world with a soul. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." The body was nothing until God breathed his breath into man, his soul. When this life ends, your body, whether you're particularly attached to it or not, will be dead. But your soul will live on, and that soul belongs to God. And this soul is designed by God for relationship with him. Jesus says in Revelation 3 verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." That doesn't just mean a meal. That means opening your life up to him, having that intimacy with him day by day. The problem is, against this backdrop of what God wants, we have an enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to see whom he can devour. That is what 1 Peter 5 verse 8 tells us. He wants to rob us of that relationship that God wants us to have with him. Now, the devil uses the influences of this world to gain entry to our soul, to pollute our thinking, our words, our actions. Now, one of the two things invariably happen, as we mentioned last week. Either you will stand and you will fight against these schemes, or you will just let this world influence you in the ways and the processes that happen. In the processes, if we accept these things, these influences from the world, they will begin to chip away at your soul, stopping you from becoming who God has called you to be. But hear this, God calls every person to relationship with him. It's the number one priority. And he calls us in turn to fight against the enemy's schemes in God's power. Now there's a scripture that says to us in Ephesians 6, verse 12 and 13, that the war and the things face. We don't battle against the things of the world that we see, but we battle against the principalities and powers behind it. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. The influences of this world are not something we can afford to ignore and hope it doesn't affect us. We need to be aware of what we're up against. We need to fight against it. And at key moments, we need to undertake what is called soul detox. Soul detox. What's a soul detox? Well, it's a little bit like a detox that you probably hear about, that people often do when they perhaps abstain from certain foods in order to detox certain toxins out of their body, which they've taken on board perhaps from foods, and they want to detox it so they feel healthier. Well, you know what? Soul detox is similar. But it talks about your soul, it talks about that inner being, and it talks about getting rid of those things, those worldly influences, the hurts, the sins, the difficulties that are stopping us from being who God has called us to be. And then we plug those gaps that are left with scriptural truth, biblical truth, in order to make us feel healthy and wholesome again. So last week, we launched a four-part series called Soul Detox at the beginning of this year, looking at how we can make sure that we're in the right frame of mind, spiritually, as well as physically, to go into this year in the best possible way. The four things that the enemy tried to attack us in the areas of our soul would be through our eyes, through our words, through our actions, and through our hearts. And we need to seek to discover how we can detox and protect these areas from the enemy's attack. So in the first part of the series, which I'm not going to talk through now, because that will be that's a whole sermon I did last week, but we looked at the eyes, the power of the eyes. What do the eyes do? You know, the eyes can either bring light to your body or bring darkness to your body. Which ones are we going to choose? How are we going to make sure that it's light that comes in through our eyes? So if you missed the sermon last week, it will be up this afternoon, along with this one. And you can have a look at what it means for us to make sure that we detox and make sure we allow ourselves to look at the right things through our eyes. I don't know if any of you have been starting to do stuff this week in regards to that. I have. And I've been noticing a difference. Think about the things that you're allowing through your eyes. So this morning, in the second part of our series, we're going to be looking at the power, the toxicity sometimes, of our words. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 30. Oh no, that's. I wonder why it wasn't four chapters, not long enough. I was looking at the wrong book of the Bible. It happens to us all, doesn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32 says these words. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up in accordance to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Some real strong words there from the Apostle Paul. Words that we need to live by. If you flick over to Philippians, which is kind of our foundational scripture that we've been using and will be using over the next 4 weeks. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says these words. Ephesians 4, verse 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." May God bless these scriptures and the other ones we're going to be looking at this morning to our hearts. May they empower us and pull us up if need be, in this area of words. Detoxing through our words. What does it mean for us? So words play an important part of our everyday living. They're used to help us communicate and express our thoughts. We use words as part of everyday conversations that we have with people. We use words to write lists, diaries, books, talks, etc. We use words to help us to read. Words also help shape our thoughts and can even reshape our brains for the positive or for the negative. Now, some other word facts that I thought, because I like to bring out some facts about certain things. Did you know the average human being has 30,000 words in their vocabulary? Did you realise that? I'm not sure whether I do, but obviously if the average person does have 30,000, it must be true. I found it on a scientific website. They must be right. The average person speaks 16,000 words a day. We speak on average 941 words an hour. That equates to around 2 hours worth of talking per day on average. Some of us may be quite a bit higher. Some of us may be a little lower. The average person uses between 2.5% and 3.8% of their vocabulary. I don't know how they work that out, but between 2% and 3% of their vocabulary is used. Truth is, friends, words are one of the most important tools at our disposal. They have the power to shape our thoughts, and how we use them to communicate can either bring life or death. An unknown 21st century rabbi once said this: "Words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively or destructively." How true is that? How true is that? The Bible, which is even more important to hear what the Bible has to say about words. It has, as you can probably imagine, many things to say about words. But here are a few examples. Proverbs 12, verse 18. "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Matthew 12, verse 36 to 38 says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." There's some harsh lessons in there, isn't there? We'll be judged by God for the words that we say. James 3, verse 5. "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Words have the power to either build up or break down. Regardless of what the world says or how people have treated you in the past, you and I are called by God to be a people of encouragement with our words, not to be destructive. Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." What does that mean? If you bring encouragement and treat others how you want to be treated, the result or the fruit of your actions will either bring peace to yourself and joy to those who receive your words, or if you're only out to bring someone down a peg or two, and you will cause and you will bring pain and you will reap bitterness and hurt. We will have to stand before God to give an account of what we've said. You may forget the words that you've spoken, but God doesn't forget. We have to be really careful about the words that we speak, whether it be to our kids, whether it be to each other. Whoever it is, we need to be careful. What you type, it's the same. But it's a good question.
Yes.
It's a good question, but it's still words. Yes. You're still thinking about those words. You still know those words.
Those words are more permanent too.
Exactly, you can't erase them very easily. Very good. How are you doing with your words this morning? It's a rhetorical, but it's what I want you to think about while we're going through this today. How are you doing with your words? Take a moment to think. Don't rush and say, oh, I'm fine. Don't rush. Think about it. Examine yourself. Think back over the last few weeks. How have you been in conversation with your spouse or significant other? How have you been with your kids? This one hit me to the core when I was actually writing this. I was thinking, how am I with my kids this week? Man alive. That's not good at times, is it? Those moments when we get really stressed out. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard with our spouses sometimes. It's hard with our friends. Have you said things that you wish you hadn't? And you know that you said stuff that you know has hurt them. Whether it be in the spur of the moment in an argument, or because they said something to hurt you, so you hurt them back. Man alive. You know sometimes people know how to push our buttons, don't they? You're already seeing, aren't you, the power of words. And you know the enemy uses words because he knows that people are conversationalists. And that actually is our relationship, and actually God's created us for relationships, so our words are powerful. You know, I don't know about you, but we may be having some conversations that we need to have with people at the end of the day. Whether it be your kids, whether it be your significant other, whether it be a friend, whether it be a parent, we're going to have to have words. And kind of, because it really hits us, doesn't it? See, if we're truly honest, most of us would probably say we've had some work to do. And, you know, this is not the way God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be saying rash words. He wants us to be a people of encouragement. At the start of the year, I know we're a little bit into it now, but we're still in January, we're still class it at the start of the year. Perhaps we need to do a reset in the way that we communicate. Because if we do, I promise you this morning, it will do wonders for your soul. And as we said, the soul, who you are, who God's created you to be, the one who connects with you, that's what you've got to protect above all other things. Above all other things. Are you still with me? Good. Good, good, good. So I guess the first question we probably need to ask ourselves is this. How do I communicate better? How do I speak better? In learning how to speak words of encouragement and affirmation rather than destruction, we need to learn a few key things. And it's quite practical this morning. You know me, I like to be a bit practical in kind of the things that we do. Choose your words carefully. That's the first one. Choose your words carefully. It's so easy to say the first thing that comes into your head. How many of you have done that this week? Said the first thing that comes into your head. This is especially true when perhaps we feel angry. I know none of you feel angry here ever. Or frustrated. I'm sure you don't feel frustrated at all either. But for those of us who do, angry and frustration, that can cause us to say things without thinking. See, the truth is, once we say something, whether it be written, form, text, emails, whether it be spoken word, you can't take it back. Even if you apologise, the hurt, the comment can still linger for that other person. We therefore need to choose our words really carefully. If need be, take a step back, especially when we're angry. Walk away. Walk away. Say this to myself, Steve, walk away. At times, walk away. If we don't have something nice to say, then don't say it at all. I know this is really simple stuff, but how many of us forget in the heat of the moment? If you've got nothing nice to say, don't bother. It's not going to lead to anything good at all. Instead, make a conscious decision to speak only words of life that will build a person up. As our key reading from Ephesians 4, verse 31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Get rid of it. Don't let it be a part of your vocabulary. Secondly, how do I become a person that speaks good words, wholesome and build up? I need to fill my heart. You need to fill your heart with God's word. I know, simple again. Simple but effective. Simple but effective. The good person, this is Luke 6:45, the good person out of a good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Simply, what you fill your life with will eventually become apparent, likely through what you say. It's a bit of a strong one again, isn't it? What comes out of our mouths, if we're not watching what we're saying, actually is a result of what's going on in our soul right now. Yeah, careful, careful what we say. Come on, look happy, you can look happy, it's all right. It's not hard, it's a hard thing sometimes, you know, but we need to teach ourselves hard lessons sometimes about how we're treating each other. If you want to be a person who's always encouraging rather than filling your life with worldly influence, choose to fill your heart with God's word. Philippians 4:8 that we're looking at says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What you think about, what your life or your eyes will have impact on the way you then speak. It will. Thirdly, on this section, really important, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. If we're honest, more than often than not, in moments of stress, frustration, or anger, the last thing we consider, let alone do, is pray for the right words to say. But it's exactly what we need to do. God knows exactly what we should say, even before we ask him. So why do we fail to do it? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons why we fail to do it. One is because we think we know best. How many times do we have to fail before we understand that we don't know best? Sometimes we think we can't help ourselves. Sometimes we think the person we're speaking to deserves what's coming to them. Sometimes, and this is a hard one for me, we feel justified in our stance because they've annoyed us. But think about it this way. Just think about what God could and probably should say to you, even from the last week. What should God say to you because of the way that you behaved? What should God say to me because of the things that I thought? What should God say to us because we've been influenced by the worldly things and we've not actually done what we should? God, in his mercy and in his grace and in his love and wisdom, doesn't do what we deserve. So why on earth should we say stuff with our words? Why should we do the things that say the things that we do when God doesn't want us to and can quite easily say things that would put us right in our place daily? We need to ask for wisdom. Wisdom is not just for the special elite people, you'll be glad to know, but is available for all. James 1 verse 5 says, then if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's a very simple thing you need to do, but it might be the hardest thing. Humble yourself and realize that you need God to help you in your conversations. Some of us daily, most of us weekly, all of us monthly. We haven't got it all together. You see, in our words, above all, what we need to do is show that we're being faithful to God. As the psalmist from Psalm 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight. Not in my own sight, not may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in my own heart, in my own mind. I think sometimes that's probably what we do. We sometimes just like, oh, I'm happy with that, that's all right then. No, it's what I say, what I think, pleasing in God's sight. Because you're my rock and my redeemer. Are you still with me? Yes. No one's zoned out yet, have they? Getting into the really nitty-gritty of stuff now. Second part is here, this. How do I deal with negative words that have been spoken over me? Do we look at how we deal with stuff to help try and protect our own hearts? But what about those things that are said to us? What about the times when we've been hurt by words spoken by others? How do we deal with that? Because we live in a world where people often think about the power, they don't think about the power their words have. People are encouraged to be themselves, to express their opinions, to take their messing from anyone. The problem is this often leads to people saying things without thinking of the impact it could have on someone else. This has become worse in recent years, where people can just sit behind a keyboard or a phone, sometimes anonymously, to express their feelings to you. When I was growing up, there's a saying that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. What a complete load of rubbish that is. What a complete load of rubbish. If truth be told, physical wounds will often heal pretty quickly. And you forget after a time, but the words that people speak can pierce the heart, that can have a lasting effect, sometimes for the rest of a person's life, often leading to bitterness and hardening of heart. The dad who said to his son, you'll never amount to nothing. He believed it, so he didn't bother trying. The little girl who was told by a friend she was fat and ugly, she believed it and struggled with eating disorders throughout her life. The words you're worthless, said in the heat of an argument. The blaming of a friend for something you've done. These scenarios and many others can have a long-term impact on a person that can lead them to low self-esteem, anger, bitterness, thinking that you're not worth anything. Our souls are valuable commodities. As we've already said, our soul is what connects us to God. Whenever negative words are said against us, they attack our soul, who we are at the core of our being. And if we're not ready to repel those attacks, they can badly scar us. How are you doing this morning? Honestly, Have you encountered words recently that have hurt you? Or perhaps even words from years back that have got behind your defences and have chipped away slowly but surely at the core of who you are? Perhaps someone said you're worthless or rude the day that you were born. And you started to believe the lie. Is it having an impact on the way that you live your life right now? I can't answer that for you. You've got to answer that for you. And allow God to bring healing to those areas. See, the reality is if we've not dealt with it promptly, it can negatively impact how we feel about ourselves, the future decisions we make. It can cause bitterness that eats away at us, and at times it can cause us to lash out as a result. And you know what, when we lash out, you don't lash out at your boss, probably not very often. You don't lash out at a stranger. I tell you, you do lash out, you lash out at the ones you love the most. So they carry wounds that we inflict upon them and they inflict upon us. So if we're feeling some or all that I've just said, how should we respond? How should we respond? You've got to be honest with God, friends. You've got to be honest with God. Keeping our hurts and pains to ourselves doesn't do us any good. If anything, having had experience of this, all it does is it compounds the pain, the anguish, the anger we feel as it goes around in just one continuous loop. Someone hurts you, you take it on board, you begin to believe it, you fret over it, and it just goes on and on. And what happens is, if someone else says something and we're still dealing with that bit, that will come in and that will add to the loop. It'll be one continuous loop. The way we break that cycle is to allow God in to start healing your soul. As David says of God in Psalm 23, verse 3, that Sharon read out a little earlier that she wouldn't have even realised. Verse 3, he restores my soul, for he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God can restore your soul, however broken you might feel today. Simply, this verse means he heals me and he sets me back on track. Secondly, how should we respond if we've been hurt? It's going to be a really tricky one. Choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. In order to move forward, sometimes we need to make the choice to forgive. It's easy to harbour the pain, which, as we said, if not dealt with, can eventually lead to bitterness and cause damage to our relationship with others and with God. Holding unforgiveness for words spoken over us only ever hurts us. Let me say this to you now, it certainly doesn't hurt the perpetrator. To be honest, they probably don't even give it a second thought. They've said something in anger. They probably don't even realise that they've hurt you. And all it does is that it just leaves you wallowing in your hurt and your pain. So Jesus calls us to forgive, just as God has forgiven us. Key reading from Ephesians 4:32 again says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, put a caveat to this, it probably won't be easy. As if it was, you probably would have done it already. But step by step, with God's help, as you make the step towards forgiveness, you can be free from those words that have kept you bound. So finally then, how can we keep ourselves protected from the words that hurt? It's really important you do this. And actually, we don't do this at all most of the time. Weigh up what's said to you. If someone says to you, you're ugly, I wish you weren't born, do you think that's what God thinks of you?
No.
You've got to weigh up what's said to you. You really have. Just because someone says something about you doesn't make it true. Of course, it also doesn't make it false at times, but it doesn't make it true. Don't react in anger. Don't take it to heart believing it's true without first weighing it up before God. It's important we ask ourselves the question, do the person's comments reflect what is true? And you ask that honestly in your heart. If the answer is yes, and you sense that God's speaking to you, you take it on board and you seek to deal with it. Secondly, if you take it on and look at it and you go, no, that's not true, what do? You reject it. You chuck it out and you say, I'm not having that. I know that I'm beautiful. I know that God's got plans for me. I know that I'm the best at football there is. You've got to weigh things up, reject it, and pay no further attention if you know it's not what God is saying. Be honest with yourself. And one final word. We spoke about words. We spoke about words to others and words we receive. But what about those words we say over ourselves? I know there's some of you who do that. Some of you speak words over yourself. You believe not what others say. You don't believe what God says. You believe what you say on yourself. The moments when we give ourselves a verbal kicking for the wrong thing that we've done. The times when we say harsh things to belittle ourselves. I don't deserve this. Anyone ever said that before? I don't deserve God to give me any good things. I'm not good enough. God never sees you in that way. Be kind to yourself. There's enough people trying to not be kind to you. Be kind to yourself. Speak positive things over your life. Protect your heart, because the enemy wants nothing more than to weigh in on your misery. So don't let him. As we said this verse last week, Proverbs 4 verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart, friends. Please guard your hearts. In conclusion, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words have the power to bring life or death. This year, as we start 2024, may we take time to detox our words from the influence of the world, whether we're giving them, whether we're on the receiving end. May we be a people who choose our words carefully. May we be a people who meditate on God's word, and may we pray for wisdom in our words that we say. In equal measure, may we choose to be honest with God, learn to forgive when we need to, and weigh up the words that are said to us. Words do have the power to bring life or death. Choose today to bring life. Choose today to bring life to your fellow man, and your soul will be good. Your soul will be at peace. Your relationship with God will be where it needs to be. Should we pray together?